Good morning, and a happy Sabbath to you all. Before we begin this morning, let's bow our heads and invite the Lord's presence. Dear Father, this morning we thank you and we praise you for your wonderful love and for this wonderful Sabbath day. We thank you for the privilege of gathering here this morning, and we ask and invite your Holy Spirit to be with us. Come and teach us and help us, Lord, to draw nearer to you. May all that is said and done here this morning bring honor and glory to your name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to come down here. Let me see here. We had started this a few weeks ago, and we went through part one, essentially. And so now we're going to look at the first part of part two. And this is, first of all, a review. First, we'll have just a couple of things to look at real quick as a review. And we went through these questions, the who, what, when, where, why, and how. Right? We went through that. That looked familiar. Who, what, when, where, why, and how. The who was everyone. The what is preach. When is always, where is everywhere, why is for Christ and souls, and how with fervor and zeal. So this is the basics of evangelism. Everybody is supposed to always be sharing the good news of salvation in Christ for the sake of Christ and for the sake of souls. In Mark 16:15, it says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." It doesn't say some, it doesn't say part of the world, but all the world and to every creature. And it says to preach, that's what we are to do. And remember, we looked at Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the Bride say, "Come," and let him that heareth say, "Come," and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. So anyone who hears the message is to repeat the message. If we hear the message of salvation, we hear the good news of salvation in Christ, we are also to repeat that message and the invitation to others. Whoever hears, let him say, "Come." And then just the highlighted portion here, everyone who professes the truth should be a living preacher. So each one of us, as we go through our lives, as we live, we are to be preaching the good news of salvation in what we say, in how we act, in all that we do. Everything we do and say should be a witness to the salvation of Christ and the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. And this quotation, "Your talents will increase by winning souls to Christ." If you're concerned that you don't have enough knowledge or talent or ability, use what you have for the Lord, and the Lord will increase it. Okay. Now, in John chapter 4, when Jesus is, this is actually at, when he's speaking, has just spoken to the woman at the well, and she's headed back into town to tell everybody that she's met the Messiah. And the disciples are talking with him and trying to get him to eat, and he says, "I have food you don't know about." And then as the people start to come out from the city, he says, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." So 4 months was the typical, from the planting to the harvest was typically 4 months, from sowing to harvest. And Jesus is saying, look, we already have a harvest. There's a harvest of souls coming. But 4 months was the typical for from sowing to harvesting. This is from Christ Object Lessons, page 63. "As the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth. As in the natural, so in the spiritual sowing. The teacher of truth must seek to prepare the soil of the heart. He must sow the seed, But the power that alone can produce life is from God. So there are parts, there is work for the teacher of truth beyond one phase of evangelism, right? One phase of working with souls. In fact, we're told that as it is in the natural, so it is in the spiritual. So let's look at that. In farming or gardening, the first step is you prepare the soil, right? You first work the soil and prepare the soil before you actually plant the seed. Okay? Then the second step is to plant your seed, to sow. What's next? Is the harvest next? No. Cultivating, right? You have to water, you have to fertilize, take out the weeds, whatever it is. You have to continue to work with the ground and so forth and the plants to prepare. And then comes the harvest. Are you done when the harvest is there? When you pick the food, that's it? No, because if you then have to preserve the food. So if you harvest, if you have a large harvest, you need to preserve the food. And we're doing that with blueberries, and we did it recently with apricots, canning apricots and freezing blueberries, right? Once you get the fruit, that's not the end. You have to preserve. Well, is that it then? When you're doing gardening, are you done? No more gardening? You're done with it? Is that the end? And what do? You got to work on the soil again to get ready for the next crop, right? So it's not something that you finish, you do it and you're done, right? It's an ongoing cycle, continuing to work through the cycle of preparing the soil, planting seeds, cultivating, harvesting, and preserving. So evangelism is not an event, it's a cycle. Many times we've turned it into an event in the standard North American way, the way that we have done it a lot in North America, is we've done it as an event. We hire an evangelist, comes in, he preaches a series, and he leaves, and we did evangelism for the year. That's not evangelism. Evangelism is the entire cycle. That's only one part of the evangelistic cycle. That is a harvesting or a reaping series. When you have a series of meetings, that's for harvesting or reaping. It is not evangelism. It's only one part of it. And if that is all that we're doing, we're not really doing the work that we're supposed to be doing. Okay, so the evangelistic cycle is the same: to prepare, to sow, to cultivate, harvest, and preserve. It's a cycle, and it continues. You just keep going. Because evangelism should be a way of life, not some event that we put on or do. That's the whole purpose for why we're here. Okay, so a typical evangelistic concept that has been used: evangelist is expected to do all during the harvest, to sow, cultivate, harvest, etc. In other words, during that time frame when we have done the typical evangelism, the evangelist is expected to do everything during that short period of time. All the sowing, cultivating, and harvesting is just in that short period of time. They're expected to give the entire message, and they depend on publicity in order to get a crowd. In other words, it's all advertising-based, pretty much. And must rent a neutral hall, which increases the cost. A high budget, it's expensive with all the advertising, the renting of the hall, the paying of the speaker, etc. The members are usually not involved. How many of you have been through evangelistic series or meetings that are like this? Where there's basically nothing, the members aren't involved. Maybe they come, maybe they don't. I've been to evangelistic meetings where It's hard to find a member of the church who's doing the evangelistic series, and it's hard to find a member present at the meetings. The members are generally not involved. They bond, those who are coming to the meetings, they bond with who? The evangelist. The evangelist is the one who's working with them, who's sharing the good news, who's making the contacts with them and developing the relationship with them. They bond with the evangelist, and then when the evangelist leaves, so do the people. And then as a result, the members get a negative feeling about evangelism. Because, well, we've tried it, it doesn't work. We've done evangelism here. Well, you know, and we didn't get any much. Well, we had a few, but they're not here. It just doesn't work. All right, so that's kind of the typical thing and what has happened. But the thing is, we have to understand that people are at different places. People have cycles. People are not at the same point. And we need to be working with people where they are. Whether they are at the phase where they need sowing, or whether they're at the phase where they need cultivating, or harvesting, or preserving. And we need to work with the people where they are, and as a church, have things for each one. Let's think this. The gospel deals with individuals. Every human being has a soul to save or to lose. Each has an individuality separate from and distinct from all others. Each must be convicted for himself, converted for himself. He must receive the truth, repent, believe, and obey for himself. He must exercise his will for himself. No one can do this work by proxy. No one can submerge his individuality in another's. Each must surrender to God by his own act and the mystery of godliness. Each individual is different, and we need to be working with each individual as they need and see where they are in the process and help them along in that process. So there are cycles within the church. We should have cycles going where we are preparing, sowing, cultivating, harvesting, and preserving. And along those cycles, what we do is we then plug in the people who are at the various points in their own experience into the appropriate activities that the church is conducting in order to meet their needs and bring them along further to bring them to the Lord. Okay, so we should have the evangelistic cycle going on in the church so that there's always something coming up that whatever point somebody's at, they can be plugged in. So an application. So you look at this, and we'll look at this more in the future, but preparing, you start with preparing the soil, right? And then depending on the individuals, some, as we go out, as we've been going out in Dunsmuir and as we've done different things, there are some who are still needing more in that preparing area. Some are ready for sowing. Some are ready for cultivating. And there are some that are ready for harvest. And so, as you're going through the sowing, cultivating, and harvesting, the principal activity may be the sowing and the cultivating during that period of time, but you also need to be harvesting those who are ready, right? Harvesting the grain. And then there's this, you know, then is a harvesting time where the principal activity is harvesting. Okay? And then following that is preserving and preparing. But while you're preserving those who have come in, at the same time, part of that preserving process is getting them involved in the next process. Right? Because if they're not involved, the very first work of each person who comes to Christ is to go out to reach others for Christ. That's the very first work. And so what we need to do as a church, as people come in, we need to be connecting them and getting them involved in reaching out for others. And so we begin, as part of that preserving, is we begin the process again in getting them involved in the sowing and the cultivating and the harvesting. And we just continue the process. See, many times we've done, as a church, not necessarily this church necessarily, but as a whole in Western civilization, as a church, we have often gotten involved primarily in taking care of those who are already here. Let's just, you know, make sure that we don't decrease in numbers, right? We're just trying to take care of who's here. And we preach, and we don't get involved in evangelism that much. Maybe we try one series of meetings, and we get a couple, and they leave. And we get too caught up in just the activities of church that we're not reaching out for souls. And our whole way of life should be reaching out for souls. And so as a church, what we need to do is have this process going on an ongoing basis where it's what we do. Evangelism is what we as a church do. That's the whole purpose for the church. And so we should be continuing through this cycle over and over again until the Lord comes. Because until the Lord comes, there's a work to do. I think we'll stop there and we'll continue with more about the evangelistic cycle and what things fit into the different categories next time. But we need to have an ongoing cycle that we can plug people into what different activities that the church is doing on an ongoing basis that we can put people into. Right now, I know at least five people that are ready for a stop smoking clinic. And that's one of the things that we should be looking at doing. It's one of those activities that is part of this cycle. I have four people, at least four, I think it's five right now, that are wanting to quit smoking right now. And so we need to be working with them where they are and having things on an ongoing basis. So before we split up for our classes, and we'll divide up, we have the two and the third, okay? So we'll go ahead and divide up for our classes, but before we do, let's have a word of prayer. Dear Father, Lord, we thank you that you love us, that you reached out to us with salvation, with the good news in Christ, and we ask that you would help us to reach out to those around us. Let it not be just something that we do once in a while, but let it be our life, the way that we live. All that we do, may it be focused upon you and winning souls for your kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.